All right, welcome to the first of its kind, world-changing manufacturers network. Lisa Ryan has her ears to the ground and her heart in the game. Get ongoing education and new connections right here with Lisa and the manufacturers network. Buckle your seat, listen, and spread the word. Here's Lisa.
Hey, it's Lisa Ryan. Welcome to the Manufacturers Network podcast. I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Tom Geis. Tom is the founder of GD&T Basics and a certified senior level ASME geometric dimensioning and tolerancing professional with a mission to equip the engineering industry with tools for clear and confident communication and practical use. Tom has empowered countless professionals to prevent costly manufacturing issues using GD&T, revolutionizing the industry's efficiency and standardization. So, Tom, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Happy to be here.
So share with us a little bit about your background and what led you to doing what you do with GD&T.
Sure. My background is I was an engineer for about 12 years so far in the automotive world. I worked for companies like BMW and ZF Manufacturing, mainly as a design engineer. In that time working, my dad always taught me, he was an engineer as well, that when you're an engineer, you should try to specialize in a couple little things, not only to make it so that you make a bigger impact, but also to make you unfireable because you are the expert in those things and it really benefits your company. So throughout my career, I dabbled in a few other things around and I got into geometric dimensioning and tolerancing, which is just a fancy word for the standardized rules of engineering drawings. And as a design engineer, I was always explaining these things to colleagues and former coworkers, people like that. And so I decided to create a little website or a guide that I could send to people as I was learning this and as they were all asking questions to me, being the newer expert in this, so that I could save time when they called up and they said, hey, we need help with this, or we need you to look at this drawing, or take a look at this thing, or what does flatness mean, or other things like that. So I developed GD&TBasics.com just more as a time-saving method for myself to help share this information with others. But over time, it was obviously public. It grew and grew to the point where it is today, where we get about 10,000 people a day on the website looking for information, trying to do research on the topic, as well as looking up how to make this stuff that seems confusing a little less confusing for people. That is the history of why I originally developed the site. And I then went on, people were asking if I was going to develop some sort of guide or book or things like that. I figured an online course would probably be the best way to do it. It was around 2015 where online courses were really at their peak a bit too, or starting to gain in popularity. So I created an online course around GD&T to try to simplify the topic, make it a little less daunting, take a 80-20 approach to it. And that led us to where we are today. We train hundreds of companies around the country and North America on this. We actually have subsidiaries in Ireland and the UK. We train sometimes over in Australia with Live Web. We are probably the number one resource online for this very niche topic that is very important though in the world of manufacturing.
Okay. And I know that there's a backstory about your birthday.
Yes. Even before this all happened, my first job out of college, I didn't do so well. I graduated in 2008 from college, and which is not the best time to find a job, if everyone remembers that time period. Yeah. But I did land a job with a company, my first design engineering gig. Wasn't making too much money, but it got my feet wet in the industry. I was able to do some cool things. But when I got into the industry, I realized how poorly prepared I was to work in the world of manufacturing as an engineer. I was taught things like differential equations and heat transfer and thermodynamics and things like that. But I wasn't taught the basics of how to read a drawing, or how a part is manufactured, or that there was even a quality department at these companies, and it's a very big deal for things like that. I actually, my first job out of college, I got fired on my birthday from there. So that actually led me years later to continue trying to help newer engineers, newer machinists, newer quality techs who are just starting out, who there's only so much school can teach you, and help them gain that confidence, but really gain that knowledge and that real industry know-how that they need to have to be able to succeed in the engineering world, because I really didn't get that graduating, and it took me years to develop that. There's a reason why typically on the job descriptions, you typically see that, oh, you need to have 3 to 5 years experience for these entry-level roles. I think employers realize that too. And so one of my goals coming out of all of this has been to really help narrow down that learning gap that there really is in the manufacturing and engineering industry, and really help those right out of college adapt to that, these concepts that they need to know, as well as those who are brand new to engineering altogether, those who did machining, those who did everything else, really bring the industry together in that knowledge base so that they aren't so fearful of having to fake it till they make it in this industry that they typically have to do.
So who are the 10,000 people a day that are coming to the website? Are they new engineers? Are they machinists? Where, how are they finding you? And who is it that's learning all this stuff?
So we, our biggest market is obviously in the United States. That's where probably anywhere from 50% to 2/3 of the people come from that are on our website regularly. We do get a huge interest, though, in the UK, Canada, as well as India, I think represents about 1/4 of our traffic alone. There's a lot anywhere there is engineering or manufacturing, China, Japan, Australia, anywhere. We are an international website that gets people from all over the world. But what we find is it's mainly design engineers, machinists, and quality techs. Those seem to be the big roles, as well as everyone in between or in specialized versions of those that are using the site. And we have guides from everything to what is this thing that I see on the drawing, all the way to more advanced design or manufacturing strategies that we publish. And we typically publish something new about once a week on there.
Wow. Okay. So in the manufacturing world, GD&T is more than just jargon. It really is the language of precision. So can you give us a snapshot of what it looks like and why it's so critical to manufacturing?
Absolutely. And GD&T stands for geometric dimensioning and tolerancing. It's really the requirements, just like you would use words in your communication to describe something. It is ways of accurately describing something in geometric terms that require some sort of functional requirement. For example, we may have some sort of part that you have, and it needs to be machined flat. There are a bunch of different ways that you might be able to say something is flat. For instance, we have in the GD&T world, in the ASME and the ISO versions of the standard, we have a symbol called flatness. Pretty obvious, right? This flatness definition gives a true geometric definition of what that actually means. So that when someone says, hey, this part has to have flatness of this, we know exactly how that is going to be verified in the inspection lab. So now that we're all speaking the same language, when the design engineer puts it on the drawing, they should know what that requirement actually entails, which allows the machinist to understand what they're actually aiming for. And then when it gets to the inspection lab, they know the precise way that the definition requires them to inspect it. So it's all about standardizing our communication so that we're not arguing about what something means based on what we think it means, where we have something that's in a standard that we can turn to and it has a clear geometric definition.
And how does AI play into that?
It really, machine learning has been around in manufacturing for, I'm sure, probably well over a decade, right, where they vision systems and things like that. We need a way of communicating with these new tools that we're going to be dealing with. And if we're all arguing over what something means to have a certain curve, or what roundness means, right? How close to a circle a feature is, where it is in three-dimensional space, those types of things, we really aren't going to be able to communicate with machines as well. So GD&T being a standardized way of defining these geometric requirements that we put on parts is really the one of the major stepping stones that we will need to be able to automate this and continue to develop this moving forward. It's really like a programming language, for instance, right? It's the way that we're able to tell the machine exactly what we want without having multiple definitions and making it be ambiguous. GD&T also helps. We have something called a datum system in GD&T, which are the reference features on a part in which you would use for either your setups or really for the part inspection requirements that you have of how you would actually secure this part for the inspection, where the measurements originate from. Normal coordinate dimensions doesn't have that. So if you get just, let's say, a width on a part, you might have multiple different ways of you could hold that part to obtain that width requirement, where GD&T gives you a datum, an origin for the measurement, and then gives you what the requirement has to be on the other side of it to be able to meet that. So it locks in exactly how this needs to be done, which you could imagine an AI would eliminate all of that ambiguity of the program kind of guessing for it.
Okay. So it sounds like that over time they're going to go hand in hand as it continues to learn from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're already seeing a lot of companies utilizing new types of CAD files. We call them model-based definition files, typically, where instead of having the two-dimensional blueprint where you have your front view, your side view, your bottom view, they actually have the model, and then they can carry forward the tolerances in the model itself. So you spin the model around, you can actually see what the requirements or the surfacing requirements are on one side, or you can actually see where the true position of this hole actually is located with dimensions of exactly pinpointing where it has to be. Things like that. So we're already starting to see that becoming more and more adopted, as well as piling on even higher, where not just the tolerances are on there, but now you can combine that with the CAM file. So now you have the machinist able to program their cuts and passes and their feeds and speeds right into the model, and the quality department can add in the CMM program right into there as well, so that now it's asynchronous going from design, or it's fully synced up going from design to manufacturing to quality, and everyone is on the same page with the same part file. So,
okay.
Well, but that can only be communicated if we all agree on the language that we're using.
As a non-engineer, GD&T can certainly seem daunting, especially for those either new to the field or complete novices like me. So how does GD&T Basics 80-20 training approach really simplify the learning process so that it's more accessible to manufacturing professionals?
Yeah, as I said, coming out of college, I had a rough experience early on. And my goal is simplifying everything in a real world term. I have taken GD&T training from other companies in the past, and although very obvious to engineers, very high technical terms, sometimes it gets made a little more complicated than it needs to be. And so our approach with geometric dimensioning and tolerancing is really to put it in real world terms based on the ways or how that user is going to see it in their job. For instance, if we are talking to a quality tech about inspecting things, and we're talking about something advanced like datum setup, we would relate it into how they are typically measuring parts in their day-to-day setups, or how they're securing it, or what types of equipment that they have available to them. That way they understand, oh, I'm already doing these things, and I've already been dealing with this. This is just a way of better defining what we already have. And we do get a little bit of resistance to GD&T typically when we first come in, because it sounds like this really high advanced thing. And really all it is in the, our approach to GD&T is we don't want you to change the way that you're doing anything at all. We're just going to better define it and standardize it so that you now are going to be able to do this repeatably and more accurately to a standard. And when you do pass it off to the next person, you've now done a standardized method of doing this so that the next person along the line, if they're following the same rule book that we teach, will do it the same way as well. So there's less confusion, there's less ambiguousness surrounding that. So it's all about relating back to how people are currently doing things in the real world and being realistic. This ASME standard that we go based off of, it's ASME Y14.5, is developed by a lot of very smart people. And right. But it reads like the US tax code. Trying to learn GD&T from reading the standard would be like trying to learn English by reading a dictionary. Yeah, you can get the definitions of things, but it's not the best way to learn. And the way people learn best is through actually seeing it in how they would see it in their day-to-day work. And that's what we try to do. Our team is absolutely amazing. We have people from all over the engineering world. Me and my lead course developer come from a design background. My training manager, he is a journeyman machinist as well as a design engineer. And Molly, our other trainer that we have, she came from the quality world, measuring aerospace parts. We know how to relate back to how people are typically going to be doing this in their day-to-day world, because we've had machine oil on our hands. We know the limitations to this stuff. We know when you might need to bend a rule a little bit because it's not realistic to a standard manufacturing process. And I think that's what people like most about our training is we're not going to tell you, no, you can't do that. That's against the standard. We're just going to explain, hey, here's maybe a way around it. Here's why you're breaking it. But in some cases, sometimes you do have to break the rules occasionally.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. And let's go more to the business side of your business, because it sounds like you have a pretty impressive team over there. So talk about how you found them and what it took to put together a team that does what you do.
When I started the company, I did everything on my own. I was making sales calls. I was doing the training. I was doing the post follow-ups, all that stuff. And I thought as I was doing this, I knew I needed some really good help. And being a perfectionist myself, I knew it was going to be very hard to do. The greatest success I've had in my entire career has been the team that I have assembled at GD&T Basics. They are rock stars. They are absolutely amazing. I have probably the best people in the country for doing what we do. And I am so proud of the team that we've developed over time, that we are a very small team, but we have managed to work with everyone from very small machine shops all the way up to giants like Honeywell, SpaceX, Disney Imagineering is a client of ours. We work with really large companies that think we're bigger than we are. And we are just a team of 9 right now. But when we hire them from all around the country, we've got people in Charlotte, Virginia. We've got our design engineer, he's in South Dakota. We've got our trainer down in Houston. So we looked all over the country for these awesome people that we have. One of my business partners, Brandon, he also is our training manager at the company. He's actually one of the smartest guys in manufacturing that I've ever met. He actually mentored me. He worked at the company I worked at when I got fired, took me under his wing after I got fired, took me out for a beer, helped me develop my CAD skills over time. And when I did start this company, I knew exactly who I was going to hire, and that was him. He is a full stack engineer. He's a master design engineer. He's run the show in quality labs before. He's a journeyman machinist. I couldn't ask for a better help when I was starting the company as well. So we just have an absolutely outstanding team running the show here that all have either immense industry experience that they bring to the table, or are just the best support staff that I've ever had or ever worked with. And we have three women that are working, and our team, Emily, Lisa, and Kim, that really run the back end of the show like clockwork, and they're absolutely amazing. And they keep all of our customers' schedules on there. They know exactly where we're going with things, and we have come up with some amazing partnerships and clients all through them. So I couldn't be prouder of my team. If it makes it sound like I'm gushing over them, I am. They're absolutely amazing, everyone on the team. So I want to just say that's probably my greatest success. And we looked countrywide for them too. We always hired, we're a remote team. So that
I want to talk to you about that, please. Because that question comes up to me in my programs all the time with how do you connect with and engage with remote employees. So how do you keep the energy going when you guys are spread all over the country and don't see each other to have those water cooler conversations every day?
Absolutely. Yeah. And hiring was absolutely about culture first when we found these folks and making sure that they would work well in a remote environment, because we've been remote since 2016 or even COVID or anything else before it was cool to kind of have everyone at home. We were doing that because to be kind of all around the country, I wanted to have some people who wanted to work with multiple industries across the country. And I knew the best way to do that would be to provide a culture and a fit that would allow these people to work where they work best. And that's being self-driven and motivated in that way. When it comes to hiring or creating maintaining the culture, at least from the virtual standpoint, we do regular meetings. I try to do 2 or 3 meetings a year where we all meet up somewhere. We just took a big trip down to Savannah to celebrate the year end last year. So definitely meeting up in person is critical, in my opinion, to keep that spark alive. But we're always talking on Zoom, on Teams and other things. We do virtual happy hours together. But really hiring for that culture of the right fit of the people who did work well virtually and can have and maintain that interaction and the sociability over the online space was very important to me. And I think that's been one of the contributing things to our success is everyone that has jumped on really wants to work remotely, but also wants to be is very self-motivated. Mm. And honestly, I wouldn't be where I am today, or the whole company wouldn't be where it is today without every single person that's on our team. We haven't lost anyone yet. We've just been hiring on. We're probably going to still continuing to be hiring as we go. But when you work with our company, I think that's what we leave you with, is you have a really good impression from everyone that you work with, because all of our team really likes what they do. We found the right people.
And I think that's such an important note to people, because with the labor shortage continuing, and there's a lot of this thought that I just need a body in here. I just need somebody who can do the work. And yet when you hire for culture, when you hire for fit, when you hire more slowly and fire more quickly than you think you need to, that's how you get and keep people. And it sounds like that's exactly what you've done over there. Man, I am learning all kinds of stuff that I never thought I'd be talking about. So if somebody did want to continue the conversation with you and learn more about GD&T and the trainings that you do over there, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Sure. Come visit us at gdandtbasics.com. And we basically, all the stuff that we teach, we have paid programs. Obviously, we work with companies across the country, but really 90% of the stuff that we develop, we give away for free. We have outstanding resources. We have wall charts you can download. We have guides. We have everything else. We know that when our industry, everyone gets elevated, my clients get elevated, and vice versa as well. So we want to make sure that everyone has access to this information so that everyone's speaking this industry standard language and benefiting from learning more. Come visit us. We hold webinars regularly. You can also find me on LinkedIn. My name is Tom Geis. And I love chatting with people from the engineering side, people from the manufacturing side, or people from the business side. I am in the mix, the best mix of all the different worlds right now. Yeah. So come find me there. Or the best way is on the website, though. We hold regular webinars where I jump in and we teach some fun stuff.
All right. Awesome. Tom, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been great. Thanks.
I'm Lisa Ryan, and this is the Manufacturers Network Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Manufacturers Network Podcast. Do me a favor and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues so we can grow this network and connect more fantastic folks just like you. You can either send your buddies to the website at manufacturers-network.com or share the Manufacturers Network Podcast on your LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you and your industry friends hang out. The bigger and faster we grow the network, the stronger and deeper the community we'll all have. Thanks again, and I appreciate you.